Blog Talk Radio.
That our past is over in him. Because sometimes our past are not that good. So we have to thank God that he gives us favor, that he allows us new days, that he gives us the opportunity to be better today than we were yesterday. I just thank God for this new day. I thank God for his love. I thank God for his kindness and his mercy toward us. Whew, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have new days. Thank you, Lord, for giving us opportunity for a better tomorrow and a better today. So good morning, everybody. I pray that you slept well, that no thieves broke in and no fires broke out. Hallelujah. Thanking God another day. As we move in and move forward, that God has mercy upon us. You know, this morning's word I received on yesterday as I was getting ready for yesterday's show, God gave me today's message. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy endures forever. Can y'all say that with me this morning? Give thanks to the Lord, not to me, not to someone else, not to our pastors, not to anybody, but to God. We give thanks for his mercy endures forever. If God didn't have mercy on us, we wouldn't be here. Whew! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. So when you're looking for something, God always provides. Hallelujah. I just want to shout this morning because I serve a great and mighty God, and he has mercy on me. He has love for me. He cares about me. Even when I'm not always the best, he is. Even when I am at my lowest, he's at his highest. Woo, hallelujah. I can only say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And it's a personal thing. We each have to thank God for what he's done for us, and that he is so loving and kind and merciful. Hallelujah. Loving, kind, and merciful toward his children. Because we all know we can be messed up from the floor up, but God, hallelujah. And I don't know, let me say that. I can be messed up from the floor up, but God. I can only speak for me because I know I have been a mess. But I'm thankful that God is going to bring a message from it. Hallelujah. So good morning, everybody, again. Thanking you for joining me this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. We are in the book of Ezra, and I can tell you it is good. Woo! Ezra is good. Ezra shows out. He shows out. He just does his thing, and he tells it like it is and keeps it moving. That's what he does. Tells it like it is and keeps it moving. He had an assignment. And he's going to do his assignment. we each have to do the assignments that God gives us. And so we're going to be in Ezra this morning, chapter 3, giving thanks to the Lord God and knowing that his mercy endures forever. You know, we're going to go back to Ezra chapter 1, verse number 4, because that word touched my heart yesterday. And we're going to pray, but we're going to go to Ezra chapter 1, verse 4. And it says, and whoever is left in any place where he dwells, let the man of his place help him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, besides the freewill offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. We got to ask God to help us. And God will send a stranger. This morning on Morning Glory, Pastor Fuse talked about you never know when you may be entertaining angels unaware. That we must be kind to strangers. Because you never know, you may be entertaining angels unaware. God gives us everything we need and more than we could ever ask for. You know, when we think we're at our lowest, God will pull us up to our highest. When we think we have nowhere else to go, God will grant us peace. When we think, whew, there is no way out, God will show us the way. So I'm praying for a shown way today. I'm praying for God to guide me and lead me in the way that I should go. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for giving us another day that you didn't have to give us. We thank you for your loving kindness, oh God. We thank you for your son who died on Calvary's cross for our horrible, sinful selves. We thank you, Lord God, for putting love in our hearts and peace in our souls because we trust in you, God. Father God, I lift up this word this morning, asking you to increase as I do daily, as I increase. But Lord God, I give myself away for you to use me for your glory. For your glory, God, not for mine, for your glory. For I am just, whew, hallelujah, a humble servant, ready to go to work for you, God. So, Father God, I humbly come before you, lifting up Jesus' name, lifting up this word, this message, this show, oh God, I give it to you, for I wouldn't have it without you. So, Father God, as I go forth, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart be acceptable to you, O God. Be acceptable in your holy sight. For you, Father God, are my strength and my redeemer. You are my Father, and I love you, and I know that you love me. And I thank you for another day, God. And I thank you for all those that are listening, that you lift them up, that you guide them, that you help them. Lord God, I thank you for elevating those that I know that love you too. Lord God, I thank you for Pastor Johnson. Thank you for giving her a church executive pastor, Lord God. I lift her up. I lift up Angie Davis, Lord God, as you have given her another line of clothes, as well as, Lord God, giving her songs to sing and words to prophesy. Lord God, I lift up all the prophets that have spoken into my life. You know who they are, God. And I ask you, Father God, to bless them, to watch over them, to guide and lead them, that the words that they speak are your words and not their own. And Father God, I lift up my pastor, Pastor Jesse, as she is traveling, Lord God. Put your angels of protection around she and her grandchildren and her son, oh God, as they travel. Watch over them and bless them, oh God. Give them traveling grace and mercy. And Lord God, I pray over all those venturing to East St. Louis with morning glory on this weekend. Lord God, give them also your traveling grace and mercy. Bless Pastor Few that he will have a word for those that attend, that a rhema word will go forth, that someone who may come that is not saved will be saved. Father God, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Guide us and lead us in the way that you, Lord God, have called us to do. But this is your day, Lord God, that you have made, and we rejoice and are glad in it. In Jesus' name, I lift up each and every moving forward guest, each and every moving forward listener. And I pray that your word permeates their hearts, mind, and spirit. And Lord, I ask your blessing, triple portion blessing, on each and every listener. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory and the honor. Whew, hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. I just came up with this morning. I just got to thank you in my spirit, thanking God for another day. Hallelujah. Give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. His mercy endures forever. Give thanks today. Give thanks today. Give thanks today. I'm filled up. Woo, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I say it again, Lord, you're worthy of the glory, of the honor, of the praise. Thank you, God. Give thanks today to the Most High, who loves you more than anything, who loves you more than anything. Give thanks to God. But there's somebody out there that doesn't know him, but you do. Give thanks. And as we get into our word this morning on the 21st day of July, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, New King James Version. And whew, all I can say is it is good. And so thank you, Dr. Stanley, for life lessons. Thank you for the life examples. Thank you for the life questions that you give us that make us think. So I thank Dr. Stanley for this wonderful Bible. And it has been a blessing. And again, I have to disclaim, I am not being paid by In Touch Ministries to play, to read this word. I give it and I say it and I come from my heart that this Bible is a Bible that everyone needs to get for their biblical arsenal. Because this is how we fight. We fight with the word of God. For the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. But when we stand up and when we fight with God's word, not our own. Because the enemy, he knows the word too. So we got to know it, and we got to know when he takes it out of context. We got to know when it's a false teaching. We got to know that. And the only way to know that is from studying God's word and putting it in your heart, in your mind, and in your spirit. We have to stand on the word of God. And we have to have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior in our life. We are at war, and it is not pleasant. The enemy is busy. But we know God. And we know that he is fighting for us. And as Ezra and all of the children of Israel are getting an understanding, as Cyrus has said, go home. Go home. Build your temple. Do what you need to do to get your God's house in order. And when he let them go, 42,360 of them did he send back? God is good. And as we go into the word, it says, and when the seventh month had come and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered together as one man to Jerusalem. Then Jeshu, the son of Zedekiah, and the brethren, the priest, and the reverend, and Jerubbaal, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren arose and built the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings on it, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Though fear had come upon them because of the people of those countries, they set the altar on its basis, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and evening burnt offerings. They also kept the feast of tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings in the number required by ordinance for each day. Afterwards, they offered the regular burnt offerings and those for new moons and for all the appointed feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and those of everyone who willingly offered a freewill offering to the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, although the foundation of the temple of the Lord had not been laid. They also gave money to the masons and the carpenters, and food, drink, and oil to the people of Sidon, and tears to bring cedar logs from Lebanon to the sea, to Joppa, according to the permission which they had from Cyrus, king of Persia. Now in the second month of the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, the son of Jozadak, and the rest of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all those who had come out of the captivity to Jerusalem, began to work and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and above to oversee the work of the house of the Lord. Then Joshua, who with his sons and brother, Kadmiel, with the sons and the sons of Judah, arose as one to oversee those working on the house of God, the sons of Henadad, with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsibly, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. And when I read that, all I could think was, Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. You know, I don't have that voice this morning, but I thought about that. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. You know, thanking Israel out. I love you from Israel. Just tell you that. I love you. And I, again, when I first started this show, God put your song Moving Forward into my spirit. Now I'm getting all weepy eyes, because when I think about how good God is, you know, I am a friend of God, got me through a bunch, got me through my husband's death, got me through so much in my life. So I thank you, Israel Houghton. I just got to give shout out where it's due, because he uses the word of God to minister to us. You know, when we sing you are Alpha and Omega, it's a ministering to the soul. So we got to thank God for those that give us words that touch our hearts. So I thank God that I can hear, Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. You know, and it says people from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah. We worship the Most High God. And as they sang, and they sang responsibly, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel and toward us. Hallelujah. Then all the people shouted with a great shout. Then they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and the Levites and the heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of the temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. But the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard afar off. And we all know that when we know we've had something that was beautiful, that was awesome, that was a blessing from God, and we see it in disarray. We see it all messed up. We see stuff everywhere. We see trash. We see the things that shouldn't be that are there. And we get filled up because we think, Lord, forgive us. But we allowed your house to get in disarray. Forgive us, but we did not take care of the blessing that you gave us. We were stiff-necked. We thought we had it going on. And now we're sitting in a quandary, trying to figure out what to do and how to do it. Lord, forgive us. And we had to ask God's forgiveness because they were weeping because they remembered the temple that Solomon built. They remembered the beauty of that temple that Solomon built. And now, as they lay the foundation of something that will not be as beautiful, not be as grand as what they remember. And these are the older ones that I'm sure are crying because you remember they were in exile for 70 years. And it says, and when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the descendants of the captivity were building the temple of the Lord God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and the heads of the fathers' houses and said to them, let us deal with you, for we seek your God as you do, and we have, for we seek your God as you do. Your God as you do. Now understand, remember what happened. When they took them into captivity, they replaced them with other people. And then those other people tried to learn about their God and their sacrifices and all their stuff. The counterfeit is what they put in their place. And now the real deal is here. The counterfeits are coming to say, well, can we help? We know you. We seek your God too. But let me see. Let's go back and get to the word. And it says this, let us deal with you. For we seek your God as you do, and we have sacrificed to him since the days of Sherhadan, king of Assyria, who brought us here. Y'all got that? Esheradan, there we go, who brought us here. Asaradan, God forgive me, thank you, Lord. Esaradan, Don, the king of Assyria, who brought us here. Now understand, they're not Jewish. They're not Hebrew. They are counterfeits who were brought there by the king who said, well, you need to worship their God because the reason that things are not going well is because you don't know their God. So now they're trying to say, let us help you. You know, and I'm going to go to the life lesson for this verse, and it says, let us deal with you, for we seek your God as you do. It says, the adversaries of God and of his people do not always attack with a frontal assault. Sometimes they try to seem friendly and sympathetic. A life of faith requires us to remain alert at all times. 1 Peter 5:8. We got to be careful because we know that the enemy is slick. Slick as a whistle. We'll slide in under the guise of friendship to do you in. We got to watch as well as pray. And it says, but Zerubbabel and Joshua, and the rest of the heads of the fathers' houses of Israel said to them, you may do nothing with us to build a house for our God, but we alone will build to the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. Then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them, building and hired counsel against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia. even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia, in the reign of Azariah, in the beginning of his reign. They wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. In the days of Artaxerxes, also, Bishlam, Netherizel, Tabel, and the rest of their companions wrote to Artaxerxes, king of Persia, and the letter was written in Aramaic script and translated into the Aramaic language. Rahum, the commander of Shishai, the scribe, wrote a letter against Jerusalem to King Artaxerxes in this fashion. From Rahum, the commander, Shimshai, the scribe, and the rest of their companions, representatives of the Danites, the Asherites, and the Chalcolites, the people of Persia, and Erech, and Babylon, and Shushan, the Devites, and the Elamites, and the rest of the nations, from the great and noble Asnabar, took captive and settled in the cities of Samaria and the remainder beyond the river, and so forth. This is a copy of the letter that they sent him, to King Artaxerxes, from your servants, the men of the region beyond the river, and so forth. Let it be known to the king that the Jews who came up from you have come to us at Jerusalem and are building the rebellious and evil city and are finishing its walls and repairing the foundations. Let it be known, now be known to the king, that if this city is built and the walls completed, they will not pay tax, tribute, or custom, and the king's treasury will be diminished. Now, because we received support from the palace, it was not proper for us to see the king's dishonor. Therefore, we have sent and informed the king that search may be made in the book of the records of your father, and you will find in the book of the records and know that this city is a rebellious city, harmful to the king and providence, and that they have incited sedition within the city and formatized, for which cause this city was destroyed. We inform the king that if this city is rebuilt and its walls are completed, the result will be that you will have no dominion beyond the river. The king sent an answer to Rahum, the commander of Shimshai, and the scribe, to the rest of their companions who dwelt in Samaria, and to the remainder beyond the river, peace, and so forth. The letter which you sent to us has been clearly read before me, and I give the command, and a search has been made, and it was found that this city in former times had revolted against kings, and rebellion and sedition have been walking in it. There have also been mighty kings over Jerusalem who have ruled over all the region beyond the river, and tax, tribute, and customs were paid to them. Now give the command to make these men cease, that this city may not be built until the command is given by me. Take heed now that you do not fail to do this. Why should damage increase to the hurt of the king? Now when the copy of the king Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rahum, Shimshai, scribes, and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem against the Jews, and by force of arms made them cease. Thus the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, ceased, and it was discontinued until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Now, understand, let's call it like it is. When you got work to do for God, you better believe that the devil's already got somebody working to keep you from doing what you need to do for God. We got to do what we're called to do. You know, if you call to get up at 6 in the morning and get ready for a 7 o'clock show, you better get up at 6 in the morning and get ready for a 7 o'clock show. If you're called to preach a word, then you need to study that word to show God that you are proof. You got to meditate on it. You got to know that God is good and that his mercy endures forever. You got to know that the Lord is watching and that he loves you more than you could ever imagine. You got to know that as the enemy comes at you like a flood, the Lord has already got a standard ready to go up around you. The Lord God is with you. We got to trust God that all things will work for our good, but we got to trust in the Lord. So many times we want to trust in ourselves and what we want to do and how we want to do it. We got to trust God because it is hard. It is so hard to do all the things we want to do, but we got to do what God says do. It is, ooh, we got to trust God. God will not give you more than you can bear. God will not give you more than you can bear. We got to trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. When we acknowledge that, Lord, I'm struggling, and I need your help. I need your help, God. I can't do this by myself. I need you now. I need you now, God. Guide me and lead me. Help me, Lord, to be better. Help me, Lord, to be better. And as we get into this word, it says a life question. How can I find the strength to endure when I face spiritual opposition? And thank you, Dr. Stanley, for this word. And it says in the book of Ezra, we read of a believed people who faced opposition in doing what God had commissioned them to do. They sought to rebuild the holy temple that was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar decades earlier, and they faced stiff opposition from the locals, deceitful offers of help, and open attacks from the outside. Still, God's people successfully completed the temple restoration. How? By developing a spiritual equity, a spiritual quality we all need in the Christian life and endure. Let's say that again. God's people successfully completed the temple restoration. How? By developing a spiritual quality we all need in the Christian life, endurance. You know, when you say a word is just for me, that word was just, God knows the Christian life is not easy, and it never will get easy, no matter how long we live. In this world, we will face opposition, both from the world and from the enemy of our souls, the devil. God told us, Jesus told us, in the word, you will have tribulation, John 16:33. We will have tribulation. In the world, you will have tribulation. Not my words, but the words of the Savior. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us, surrounded by such opposition. If we're going to live in a way that pleases God, then we must develop endurance. The Bible is full of examples of people who endured opposition to their work and who received their reward as a result. Hebrews 11, often called the Faith Hall of Fame, the sum of those heroes. But what exactly is involved in endurance? At least four things play a big role. Encouragement from others. If we want to endure when we are attacked, we got to have encouragement. The writer of Hebrews encourages us to ponder the lives of those he lists in chapter 11. He refers to them as a cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 12:1. We cannot see this cloud of witnesses, but we can read about them and glean from their inspiring stories of endurance. Number two, get rid of the hindrances. Hebrews tells us, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily ensnares us. This means we need to identify those things that could slow us down, including the sin God has brought to our attention. Running the race, Hebrews 12:1, ends by telling us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. When the going gets rough, oh, hallelujah, we don't run away. We can't be quitters. The longer we push the limits, the stronger our faith becomes. Fixing our eyes on Christ. Hebrews 12:2 says, advises us to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Nothing helps us endure like seeing the final prize before us, and that prize is Christ himself. Do you want the prize? Then you must endure, and Jesus promises to help you. So let's go back again. What exactly is involved in endurance? One, encouragement from others. Two, getting rid of the hindrances. Three, running the race. And four, fixing our eyes on Christ. We will endure to the end when we follow the blueprint. And that is in this basic instruction before leaving earth. And as we get into Ezra 4:23, they went up in haste to Jerusalem against the Jews and by force of arms made them cease. Sometimes God allows opposition to his will to succeed for a time. We may not know why an unexpected development may dishearten us, but adversity is merely a setback from which we take our greatest leap forward. And our pastor spoke on this Sunday, but she called it the storm. Sometimes we got to, those storms come up, those storms of financial hardship, those storms that come up that just take us off our square and have us all discombobulated, where we're like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to get out of this situation. God, help me. Will help us when we stay in our square, when we stay in that faith that comes from staying in the light of Jesus Christ. We got to stay within the light. We cannot allow the enemy to push us into darkness, to push us into despair, to push us into doing things that we shouldn't do because we think it's the right thing to do. When all it is, it creates a huge mess. It creates a huge mess. We got to trust God to get us back on track. Back on track. Trusting in the Lord with all our heart and meaning, not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledging him and saying, Lord, you direct my path. You direct my path. They were going through. They were trying to do what God had called them home to do. But again, counterfeits will always come to try to mess up what God has for you to do. Be careful of the counterfeits. They'll send counterfeit prophets. The enemy sends counterfeit preachers to get you out from the house of God that he's placed God's place in to get you over to where the counterfeits are. The ones that aren't, they're not looking at that Bible. They preaching all this prosperity ministry and you'll have if you do this and you'll have if you do that. And all you need to do is give me $50 and I'll give you this little thing of oil. And, you know, just pray this oil all over and do this and do that. And you wonder why things are going to get worse. Because you're not listening to the voice of God. We've got to trust in the voice of God and trust that all things will work out for our good when we trust in God. Psalms 86:11-17. So 86 Psalms, verses 11-17. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me, and you have developed my soul from the delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol, from the depths of hell. God, you have delivered my soul. Oh God, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life and have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Oh, turn to me and have mercy on me. That should be our lament. We got to ask God to have mercy on us. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. I'm going to go back up to verses 11 through 13 one more time. It says this, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depth of Sheol. And as Dr. Stanley says in this life lesson, unite my heart to fear your name. Our hearts can be a jumble of conflicting emotions and competing interests. At the same time, we can feel torn in serving in several warring directions. So God instructs us to pray for a united heart as one, at one with Him. So we need to ask God, Father God, unite my heart that all will follow you. That I will follow you. And that's our word for this morning. For he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. He is good, for his mercy endures forever. And what does verse 13 say in Psalm 86? Psalm, for great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depth of, and I'm going to say it, from hell. God will deliver you from drug addiction, from procrastination, from alcoholism, from fornication, from pornography, from whatever your sin may be. He will deliver you from it, from guilt, from shame. God will deliver you. All you have to do is believe. I will glorify your name forevermore. We got to glorify the name of God. Ooh, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. He always talking about I'm walking in my truth. No, we need to walk in the truth of the Lord, which is in his word. Walk in God's truth, and your truth will fall in place. I will walk in your truth, not mine, but yours, God. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy. Oh, hallelujah. Not mama, not daddy, not cousin Joe down the street, or the boo-boos in them. But great is your mercy toward me. And you have delivered my soul from the depth of Sheol. We got to thank God for delivering us from the grips of hell. No one wants to die and go to hell. Father God, we ask you to forgive us like this. What that comes from repentance. We got to repent. But we got to also love. We got to love what some would call the unlovable. We got to love our brothers and our sisters as God has loved us. We got to not be so judgmental with our noses in the air, because you don't know anybody's story. You don't know why that lady is coming to church and she doesn't have on the best of clothes. You didn't know that she might be homeless and living in a shelter and has to wear what she can wear. You don't know that she might have got beat up last night and put out with whatever she had on. You don't know, whew, hallelujah, that a mom and a dad may have kicked her out because she's a teen and she's pregnant and she's living on the street. But she's seeking God because she grew up in the church. You don't know anybody's story, so take the judgment out of your heart. We got to look up and lift up and give God the glory. Again, you don't know my story. I don't know your story, but God knows our story. And we have to get out of our sanctimonious Christian behind and start acting like men and women of God who love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Get out of the judging business and get into the loving business, because God is love. You got to lift up, not tear down. And as we go into our proverb for this morning, Proverbs chapter 21, verses 17 through 18, and it's talking just about, just like yesterday. We'll go back to yesterday's proverb, and it says this: it is a joy for the just to do justice, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. And then he goes on to tell us, he who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. The wicked shall be a ransom for righteous, and the unfaithful for the upright. Lord knows what we've done. Lord knows what we got all caught up in what was when we should have caught up in what is. You know, we got to understand that God will bless you, but God don't bless messy. You got to understand it's time to clean up. It's time to go to work. Hallelujah. And I'm not talking to anybody. I'm talking to me, because God is speaking to me. Hallelujah. And as we get into our Acts word this morning, we're coming out of Acts chapter 22. And it says this: brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, and brought up in the city of the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous for God, as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women, as also the high priest bade me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, Paul's giving his testimony, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of that light being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at the same hour I looked up at him. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance, and saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprison and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr, Stephen, was shed, I was also standing by, consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. And they listened to him until this word. And then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. Then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scrubbing so that he might know why they shouted so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion, "He stood by, is it lawful for you to scribe a man who is a Roman and an uncondemned?" When the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, "They take care of what you do, for this man is a Roman." Then the commander came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman?" He said, "Yes." The commander answered, "With a large sum I obtained this citizenship." And Paul said, "But I was born a citizen." Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him, and the commander was also afraid. After he found out that he was a Roman and because he had bound him the next day because he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews, he released him from his bond and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. You know what? Sometimes you got to play the card that you dealt. And Paul was dealt a Roman citizenship. He was a Jew, but he was born a Roman. And because of his Roman citizenship, we all know what's going to happen. Because he was going to choose to go to Rome because that's where he's been sent. To die. He knows he's going to die. But he knows Jerusalem is not the location. And as we go back over the life lessons, from this chapter, it says in Acts 22:9, "Those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me." Acts 9:7 reports that the men stood speechless, hearing a voice. So is this a contradiction? No. The Greek term translated here can mean both to perceive sound and to understand. The men heard but did not understand. Acts 22:14, "The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth." Paul never forgot the words of Ananias that God had chosen him to both see and hear Jesus and to know his will. He never allowed affliction to shake him, for he wrote, "We are appointed to this." Hallelujah. What are you appointed to this morning? What are you called to do? And are you doing it? Acts 22:29. "The commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. It was a serious offense to injure or harm a Roman citizen who had not been convicted of an offense in a Roman court of law. Paul did not hesitate to use the law when it helped his cause." Amen. And we have to do the same. Use the law to help our cause when we work for God. Because it's not about our truth. It's about his truth. Hallelujah. For God is good and his mercy endures forever toward you, toward me, toward us. Give God some praise this morning. Just tell God, hallelujah. Give thanks to the Lord for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for your love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory, of the honor, of the praise. Give God praise this morning. Hallelujah. Woo, put your hands up and thank God. I love him and he loves me and I'm grateful, real grateful today to be a child of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, I have not gotten our word for today from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. So the word for today will go forth on tomorrow if I don't receive it before 8 o'clock. But let's go to our prayer for this morning. And it is coming out of John 14:26, the NASB version. And it says, "It is you, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance all that I said to you. And it says this, Holy Spirit, you are the best companion I could ever ask for. Your presence brings with it the fruit of the kingdom. Peace that passes understanding fills my heart and mind when you are near. Your love that casts out every fear is tangible with your touch. Joy springs from the depths of my soul. You hold all the wisdom I could ever look for. You're the best teacher. You don't forget a word of truth. Nothing slips from your mind. Helper, I trust you to guide me in every twist and turn in this life. Your support keeps me together when I would otherwise fall apart. You are like the wind bringing refreshing to my sun-scorched soul. You are like water in a dry desert, reviving my body. You are like honey on my tongue, bringing sweetness to the ordinary. And you are so much more. I am so grateful for your friendship. Without you, I would not know the depth of the Father's love. Thank you for your presence in my life. Whew, hallelujah. And the question for this morning is, how do you see the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? I am grateful this morning for this wonderful and mighty word that came to us from the Lord God. Thanking God today for his mercy. His mercy. His mercy, I say it again, his mercy endures forever. Thanks to the Lord this morning. Whatever you might have gone through this week, give thanks to the Lord this morning. Whatever your finances look like, give thanks to the Lord this morning. Whatever the enemy is throwing at you, give thanks to the Lord for his mercy endures. Thanking God for all of you this morning. This is all God has given me, and I'm not going to say anything more, but may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, and just say one more time, give thanks to the Lord for his mercy endures forever. And remember, not your truth, but the truth of God. Let God guide you into your truth and have a blessed and wonderful day. We have about a minute or two left. If there's anyone that has a word from God that would like to speak, the number to dial is 213-943-3597. Or if you're already on, lift a hand and your line will be open. So I see no hands up. So we are done today. And I just say to you again, may the Lord God watch over you. May he bless you. May his countenance shine upon you. May he give you peace, love, and his grace as you travel today. As you go forth in whatever you may do, always remember that God is in control of everything, and he loves you. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap. And one more thing. Love. Love everyone. Love God and love your neighbor. Let's start lifting up and not tear down. Thank you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap.